Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's Body Care Breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
The Loco Pete Show. Hope you had a lovely weekend. If indeed you are listening to this on Monday the 29th of April, day before my birthday, Lukey Moore.
I know, exciting. Bloody exciting.
Luke, I am off my head on CBD oil.
Letizia vibes.
I'm having a trip. CBD infused lemon basil, lightly sparkling with 15 milligrams of CBD.
Why is it?
Santa Amelia.
So I've been in meetings before at external companies, and obviously they have like a
little Rice Krispie bar.
No, there'll be like a drink. Yeah. So for those people who don't work in the wanky media landscape, if you go to a meeting elsewhere, like an external place,
it's the only reason why you go.
Yeah, they'll put on drinks and stuff.
Yeah,
and I went to one before, and there was a big basket in the middle of the table with ice in it. And a load of drinks in it, and half the drinks were CBD drinks.
Right. Okay.
And I was thinking, is this acceptable? 420.
Well, it's not like it doesn't do anything. I think that's why.
Makes you chill, though, right?
I don't think it does. I think it's all just a load of nonsense to me. I reckon the whole industry's a joke. I didn't. Well, it was on offer.
Oh right. Okay.
It was on offer, and I forgot I've got a cabal of bigger juice bottles that nobody seems to be drinking in the office.
No one wants your bigger juice, mate.
I just want everyone to be cool.
When people, sometimes if people are late for recording or they're stop off at a coffee shop on the way in or whatever, they'll buy pastries for people. Like, oh, I'll buy like five pastries at yourself kind of thing. It doesn't work with bigger juice.
Doesn't work with Marcus.
People are just confused.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
It's 9 a.m. Why don't I want a bigger juice? It's got 80 grams of sugar.
Well, I wasn't late, so that should mean that I am wedded to getting the bigger juice inside your bodies.
I think you are very steadfast in your commitment to the bigger juice, and I applaud that.
I have two major brands: Coolish ice cream.
Coolish isn't a major brand for you anymore. You never talk about it anymore.
Well, because I just don't have access to it because they refuse to import it.
People do it for me.
It's a little pouch of ice cream, a little Capri Sun packet of ice cream, vanilla ice cream. But people send me it pretty much constantly when they're on holiday in Japan. They go, "Pete, I've got some." They're like, "Good."
You don't talk
and yet
about
the Lotte Corporation do not get involved. The Korean ice cream company Lotte do not bother getting involved with me. I could be a big sponsor. I could be a big headline sort of Western sponsor. There's quite a few
things in like American stuff that they don't import properly here as well, which I guess I just can't be bothered.
Oh, it's like we get 10% of all of the brands, don't we? It's very upsetting.
It's not as good.
No, it's not as good over here. I wish that in most like off licenses slash like M&S Wild Bean cafes in garages, I'd want one of those, you know, those rollers that roll hot dogs and cheese.
You do
and
get
onion,
some of those.
Kind of like, you don't really. Not every 7-Eleven, you can be guaranteed whenever you arrive, day or night, there'll be you'll have access to a warm sausage. And if not, Slim Jim's.
Is there any Slim Jim's? Basically, like a big pepper army, right?
It's not right. I mean, it's Mark was eating one on the wrestling show recently, and it's the thing about Slim Jim's is it's like they're really greasy on the outside.
Yeah,
the membrane is really tough.
Yeah.
And the inside is dry.
Yeah.
It's like they've deconstructed. You know, like when people get, when Michelin star chefs, they basically take a Big Mac meal And they deconstruct it and they
do
make
they?
It into this. Yeah, it's like a little kind of tester how you would work with these shit ingredients and make it taste nice. Yeah. They deconstruct these things and make these delicious kind of creations from the ingredients of a McDonald's meal. It's like that, but they've deconstructed it and they've put all of the things in the wrong bit. The grease is on the outside, the dryness is in the middle. It's just a shit show.
Still eating that, do you?
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
The local petrol station near where my wife's parents live is got an astonishing array of breakfast foods for a petrol station.
Right. Okay.
So basically, you know, if people listening from the US, if you've not visited the UK very much or not at all, petrol stations in our country, they'll have like maybe a good one will have like an M&S food on the side.
Yeah.
Or some kind of mini mart.
Yeah.
But to the Cumberland Farms one near
Cumberland Farms.
It's called Cumberland Farms. Cumbies, they call it. It's got like a whole wall of like iced coffee options.
Yeah.
It's got like a heated counter. It does loads of breakfast foods for people on their way to work.
You can get coffee anytime. And also we've only recently started getting coffee machines in our like little Costa mini coffee machines.
Are they any good though?
They're all right. But some of them give you receipts to take to get pay. To pay for it, and some of them don't. So it's kind of difficult to figure it out.
When you're on a long journey in the car, what's your kind of stopping strategy?
All the time. just constantly stopping, constantly loading up on coffee and sweets. There's a lot of like, this food that you don't get anywhere else, like mint twirls and stuff. Orange twirls, like they'll piss about with the form a little bit, and you'll only ever see them in garages.
What, like a little testing ground?
Yeah. And then you'll see this product that you don't see anywhere else, so you just grab loads of them, and then you're on your way. You'll get like bags of boiled sweets, but then you'll also get like really bad sandwiches, like atrocious sandwiches, maybe a pork pie, and the rest is just like, who's buying 4 pints of milk on the M1? Nobody.
Me on the way home.
You
on the way home. But you know, they also do massively sized chocolate bars in petrol stations.
Yeah.
So the king size, it always just seems to be king size chocolate bars. But the reason I'm asking is because I think that if you and I were on a big long road trip together, and you're driving, what's the conversation going to be like?
What do you mean?
I just think that you might find it hard to fill the silence.
I tell you what, if you go on a long car journey, I did it with my mate Al up to Hartlepool. It absolutely flies by if you've got someone to talk to.
Definitely. 100%.
Mad. But if I do it myself, I get quite tired.
Yeah, I have to really line up and queue up like podcast records because it gets so dull otherwise.
I listen to a lot of like Spotify emo playlists, obviously, but like it's just nice to experience music in its natural habitat.
When I was driving back from, I was in Bristol a week or two ago. And I was driving back along the M4, and it was quiet, thankfully, for what I'm about to tell you. And in the distance, I saw a shape moving on the road.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck is that? And I thought it was like a bin bag being blown around the wind.
Badger, dancing.
It was a duck and like 8 ducklings.
Oh.
I had to swerve around them.
That's nice.
And it was just frightening.
Yeah. But I think that's one of those things where like, if someone's having car trouble, people just gone burn speeding up if anything past them. Ducks though, I think everyone stops for a duck.
It's very difficult when you're driving at like 70 miles an hour
to stop.
I'll tell you now, someone's gonna have killed those ducks.
There was no blood on your hand,
no, which is important. And I was a bit of a moral dilemma really, because I swerved last
it was like the two forks in the in the train.
I swerved
which track do you go on?
And it was fine and I didn't hit anyone and there was no problem. If I had swerved around 8 ducks and hit another car and caused a big pile-up, it's not worth it.
No, it's not. Kill the ducks. They shouldn't be there.
Yeah, they're out of their natural environment, aren't they?
They shouldn't be pissing about in there.
I'm not going to kill the ducks. The problem is, though, Pete, it's an instinctive decision, isn't it? And you're brought up not to want to kill
them. You shouldn't reverse over them.
Just to make sure.
Yeah.
No, I would never do that. Pete, we'll get the animal rights people on our back again.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever gone on our backs, to be honest. I've created a rather bit of a faux pas.
Go on, tell us about it.
In the Donaldson household, I have locked the dog leads in my car, and there's no key at home
for
my partner to get the
mate, because your key ring.
No,
it's because your keys again. I told you, separate them out.
Why?
Because this reason.
Should
if my wife needs to get in the car now?
Why the dog leads in the car?
The car keys hanging up on the hook.
Why
the go in there?
It's fine. Dugleads in the car.
Do you know that people, when we posted the video of you, your Toyota Century,
yeah,
and people saw your keys,
yeah,
in the key,
mm-hmm,
what's it called? The lock for
the key
the ignition.
Lock. Yeah.
Everyone was saying, change those keys
because it will damage the
ignition barrel.
The barrel. But I would also say that there's actually quite a nice feature of that car, unique to it. It's actually got a magnet on the side of the steering wheel, so you can actually just smush all your keys, so it takes all of the weight out of the
barrel. That's a good idea.
But also, do you think that is for people who do a hell of a lot of driving? And I imagine like American people who just drive miles and miles and miles. We've got a hell of a lot of keys. Miles and miles and miles that are going to fuck up your lock, but they're not going to be in that lock that often because I don't drive all that often.
I think everything in the universe is screaming out towards you just to change this setup and you refuse to do it.
I'm going
to
get more keys.
You've got dog leads in the car and you can't get them out.
I'm going to get so many keys, my trousers are going to fall down.
You've got a damaged ignition barrel.
Mm.
Speaking of, is that the whole plan? You're going to get keys that are so heavy your trousers keep falling down in public?
Yeah, and they go, I'm not being a pervert. It is my keys.
Look, that guy I told you about,
responsibilities.
Who was flashing people.
Right.
It wasn't his penis. It was like a fake penis he'd put on.
Oh, right. So you can't get me copper.
So he was basically saying, yeah,
still, I mean, he's had a cursory think about it, hasn't he?
Well, I think it meant that he could get away with a certain...
I don't think he can. Because right. I've been watching like this lawyer on YouTube and he's basically, he's a barrister of England and Wales.
Is he a lock picker?
Scotland, England, Wales? I can't remember where. It's England, Wales, isn't it? It's like the cricket.
Is he a lock picker or not?
He's not a lock picking lawyer, no. God, my flies are down. No, they're not. Good. I'm not the flasher. But basically, a lot of like law seems to be to any reasonable person. So if I think that you're flashing your junk around and it happens to be a plastic junk, I think you can still get arrested for doing the same thing because the effect is the same.
But you think I'm reasonable? Am I being reasonable? I guess it depends. Isn't there certain law as well? Like, for example, if you, it's like a weird peccadillo of a law. So, for example, if you're having sex in your car,
right,
it's only a crime if someone sees it.
Right, okay.
So if a police officer walks up and sees you, they tell you to stop.
Mm.
But if a member of the public sees it and complains, it's then a crime.
I could see that. Do you not think that, I'm always surprised that you can't get pissed and sleep in your car.
Well, because you're in charge of a vehicle.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Even if you're in the back seat?
Even if you're in the back seat, people lock their car keys in the boot so that they don't have access to them, etc., etc. Like, they think they get away with it. But no, like, you are technically in charge of a motor vehicle if you are in that vehicle, which seems mad. Absolutely
How often
mad.
Have you found yourself in this situation?
I reckon I've probably broken the law, like, once, I think. Yeah, just having a snooze in the back of the car because I'm just a bit like, oh, God, I don't feel good.
But have you got home late before and been like, I can't disturb the Wi-Fi I've access to, I'm just asleep in the car?
Get in the Toyota Century, yeah.
Could you reckon you could do that, could you?
It would be a bad luck for the school run, wouldn't it?
I think we've worked out what that phantom switch on your car was as well, that you didn't know what it did.
Right,
I think it might be for a taxi light.
Do you reckon?
Flick the light on and off on top of the roof.
Yeah, but where's the wire?
Well, I don't know, it's your car. You just showed me the switch, the wire, you didn't tell me the wire.
Yeah. All right, well, look, we'll be back in just a second after some short adverts. Take a listen out for the Acast noise. Bring.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Hey marketers, want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Pete, last time we met, you were very confused between Phil Collins and Bob Hoskins.
Sounds like me.
Which is interesting. We also conducted a survey that concluded that life was better in the 17th century for a certain amount of people. I also reviewed a movie called Civil War. Now, I watched another great movie on Saturday night.
Right.
I don't know if I told you before, but like my wife goes to bed quite early. Obviously, my son goes to bed early because he's a baby.
What a baby.
I know.
What a big baby.
Cry, whiny baby. I watched The Zone of Interest.
Oh.
Have you seen it?
No.
Have you heard of it?
What is that? No.
Won an Oscar.
Did it?
Let me just check what Oscar it won.
Zorn. Best film about a Zorn.
So it's basically a historical kind of drama. And it's based on a book by your friend and mine. What's his name? I can't remember.
Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, no, he's called Martin Amis.
Right, yes.
And it won the Oscar for Best International Film.
Ah, is it, Amis is still with us, isn't he?
Martin Amis died quite recently.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is. It's not. It doesn't affect the film, though.
No.
He died, about a year ago. Anyway, so the film is about Rudolf Höss and his family, who the commandant of Auschwitz, who live on a house.
Do you think a man who looks like me doesn't know who Hess is?
Fine.
Good God.
Lives
look
on
me.
Lives on a beautiful house and gardens just the other side of the wall of Auschwitz. And it's a film
about
their everyday life.
Not knowing what's happening, et cetera.
No, they know what's happening.
Oh.
They just don't care.
Right, okay.
And they're basically architects of it, I guess. You don't see the concentration camp in any detail, you only hear it. You see the tops of the buildings, you see circumstantial stuff around, and it's about the mundanity of their everyday life, the admin, the stuff that happens, and how it impacts upon their life occasionally and how they react to it. And it's done like it's a Jonathan Glazer movie, right? So he's done some other quite interesting films as well. It's done in quite an art housey way, but there's no kind of explanation, there's no kind of real plot necessarily, other than just the fact that like Rudolf Höss doesn't want to leave Auschwitz and be posted somewhere else, and his wife loves living in the house, so they want to stay there,
right?
And all this stuff kind of goes on around them. It was amazing. It was like deeply, deeply unsettling, which I guess, of course, is the point. Very, very.
You can hear
effective.
The noise. Yeah, you hear the. Yeah.
So, but I ended up because it's one of the more irritating parts of my personality. I ended up kind of reading around about it. And that house, I think, is still there.
Right.
But they couldn't use it because it was old. And obviously, in the film, it's just been built. So they had to rebuild a replica of it. And then the sound guy, the sound team for that movie, they were like going through records that they could find of when people were being shot and how far away from the house they would have been shot.
Oh, and what, like,
replicating
the sound design,
that sound
right,
exactly.
Okay.
So it's
nice.
So authentic.
I like that.
So like there would be like... obviously, in the in the background of out of the living room window when they're having dinner, there's like a dining room window. There's like furnaces burning in the background at certain times of the day. It's all super authentic, but it was absolutely amazing. It was genuinely.
Do you kind
effective.
Of start training yourself to sort of hear the horrors that are kind of unseen?
I think so. And what I think I've always been kind of fascinated about is what people don't like to. Imagine, I think. Let me put it this way. It's much more convenient for people, isn't it, to read about Nazi crimes and go, they're just monsters. Just write them off. They're just complete psychopaths.
It can never happen again.
Exactly. Whereas actually, that's not the case, is it? They're otherwise quite ordinary people. And that's very, very difficult for people to take as a palatable idea, like the whole idea of like the mundane, the banality of evil, that kind of thing. And what the film did really well, and I won't, there's not really anything to spoil it because it kind of just is what it is. There's not really a plot anyway. But what it did really well is it kind of showed the absurdity of it, like how that Hearst is very content to live his life. He clearly believes in what he's doing. He's completely radicalized by it and believes in it. And you only got to read the historical record to know all that stuff anyway. But there are moments in it, Pete, where they've obviously got kids, right? They've got three kids live there as well. And there's moments where the absurdity and the evil of what they're doing impacts upon their lives in a way they can't control. So for example, they go fishing in the river and some human remains appear in the river.
Okay, yeah.
And so he goes mad. Like, he grabs his kids out, runs them back home, scrubs them all down. Like, he's like, and then he starts getting really emotional about how this can't happen. How it's not. It's almost like he's saying it can't happen because I guess people on the first surface level, he's saying this is careless.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be happening. But what he's really saying is, I can't have this anything to do with my kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because how bad it is, right? Yeah. And I also read really interestingly that the two lead actors who play Rudolf Hess and his wife, German actors, they're amazing, obviously. The performances are amazing. And I think there's something in the idea that when you're watching a subtitled movie, you are convinced that the acting performances are even better for some reason because they're not actors that you recognise. So there's no kind of leap that you have to make in your mind.
Mm.
They were amazing. But anyway, both of them apparently, as German actors who were getting a reputation, both committed to never playing Nazi characters. They never wanted to.
Right.
We don't want to do this for all these obvious reasons. And that to be convinced for a very long time to actually do it by Jonathan Glazer, who obviously wrote and directed the movie. So it was an amazing film. And it's something I heard a lot about because I'm interested in 20th century history and because it won the awards. And I was like, I really got to watch it. And I'm so pleased I did. Like, sometimes it's really disappointing when you are really hyped for a movie that's supposed to be brilliant. But this one was like, it was so affecting. I was thinking about it so much afterwards. It's so amazingly done. And the one thing I'll just finish by saying is that, you know, when you watch a movie and it's a horror movie, and so the best horror movies are the ones that make you do the hard work.
Yeah.
So like Jaws, you hardly ever see the shark. Mm. Yeah. Alien, you hardly ever see the alien. You're telling yourself these stories, which makes it more frightening. It was basically like that.
Yeah.
We don't need to see the horrors because we've all seen the footage before, right? We understand how horrific it was. But for it to do it in such a abstract way and make you fill the gaps in, because honestly, you're really at a point where some mundanity is happening in their living room around their family and you're hearing things in the background and asking yourself, what the fuck's happened there? Someone just been shot again.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was really, really affecting. It's well worth watching. You should watch it.
Mm. I do fancy it. When I saw the description, I very much fancied it. But it sounds like it's one
of the three
watch.
Good films I've seen really recently. The third one I haven't talked about was Dune Part 2, which I really enjoyed.
Long. Villeneuve. Long. Very long.
Really long.
Mm.
And I do think, as I was saying to Marcus earlier, wasn't I, that, you know, a lot of these amazing blockbusters back in the day, they get it all done
in
2 hours.
In and out. I watched Baby Reindeer. Very good.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Excellent.
Is that a series or a movie?
It's a series, and it looks like the Witch Hunt. It's about a stand-up. I wouldn't watch it.
Oh, really? Is it actually good?
Yeah, it's excellently done. And the sort of parasocial, I suppose you call, relationships, a bit of a buzzword at the moment, but you know, I could see people sort of having to endure. But I think the takeaway is that, like, stalking is such a all-encompassing and horrific thing to do with somebody.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't help it because they're, you know, mad. But it's just such a horrific thing to do to people. It permeates every part of your life.
It appears that the law isn't at all equipped to deal with the psychological aspect of it for both the victim and the perpetrator, right?
Yeah.
Because clearly that people, I'm not making excuses for them, because obviously the victims are the people we should.
Half the time they don't know that they're doing it.
They're damaged, right?
There was a guy who flew in from, I think, India, went straight to Golden Square to see my partner Sarah, and security just let him up. Like, it's just, and it's just stuff like that where, like, he won't even know that that's fucking weird. He won't even know that that's an insane way to conduct yourself.
Yeah.
Because he's just a fan, but like nobody is willing to sort of front up to the fact that, you know, it's a dangerous situation and
mate,
really.
I've been on the radio before where a very, very prominent female broadcaster had that exact similar issue, and they had to make adjustments to how they could travel to and from a studio, and then in the middle of a show we were doing once, in the gallery, there was all these police officers.
Mm.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it was, so we had to obviously wait to break. Broke for ads. The guy the stalker guy. Mm. He'd phoned like a bomb threat into the studio.
Right, right.
Because he couldn't see the person.
Yeah. It was wild. Absolutely wild.
I don't know actually of the handful of female broadcasters I know well.
None of them will have not.
I don't know any of them who's not had that.
Experienced several of them as well.
Yeah,
and you've got to constantly check people's intentions. You've got to constantly second guess yourself. You've got constantly kind of sense check every email, every dispatch you get. It is exhausting to be a public figure. Luckily, you got Mr. Muscle here to sort it out. Mr. Muscle was a real insult back in the day for me. Spectacle man. Mr. Muscle did a lot of terrible things to the young spectacled youth.
I actually think there's a lot of 90s commercials that were damaging to men.
Yeah. Tefal? I had a man with a big head.
Not so much that one.
Well, the Tefal men, they had big heads. Was it because they had big brains? And they chose Tefal because they had big brains.
I just remember
massive foreheads, and a few people who had big old nappers would be called Tefal head.
I don't remember that. Take off where I was.
Tefal head, yeah.
The one I found particularly offensive, particularly now as a father, is the Daddy or Chips one.
Daddy or Chips. Daddy or Chips.
It's just so insulting.
Why?
Because the whole premise is that, you know, whatever your dad does, he's never going to be as good as Chips.
Well, I wouldn't think that too deeply about it. You're just soliciting one child's opinion about daddy. And we don't know daddy's portfolio. He might be showing up as a great father in front of the camera.
Shit.
He might be terrible.
Yeah, okay. Mm. I just think that if, you know, if my child was offered his dad or a plate of Chips, if he was my son, he'd go for the Chips. But I would be offended by it.
Yeah.
I also think that, like, obviously there's a lot of
daddy
chat.
Made of chips.
There's a lot. Yeah. Well, but yeah.
Has daddy got chips? Has daddy seized the means of production for the chips?
A chip dad.
Yeah.
That chip is dad. Life size. It's like a size of a dad.
Massive chip.
But
yeah.
It's a chip.
Mm.
And it teaches you about eating healthy.
Right.
That'd work.
Because if you keep eating them, you won't have a dad. You are basically...
If your dad keeps eating them, you won't have a dad.
Yeah.
Because he's starting to get type 2 diabetes. And it's not good for him.
Mm.
I just think that, you know, obviously a lot... Understandably right that a lot of attention's on like how difficult it is for women in modern society. But the patriarchy, which is a thing, is damaging to men as well because it means that men... It basically seduces men into thinking they have to be a certain type of man to be legitimate.
Right.
A strong man, a successful man, whatever.
Yeah.
And not all men are like that because everyone's different. So the whole thing does need to be smashed, in my view, for those kind of reasons.
Look, you see my toolbox. I am.
You came in with your toolbox the other day.
I'm such a big boy. It's such a bigger boy these days. So I don't have to worry. I've very much been codified into the patriarchy.
Can I also tell you that I actually managed to, without issue, put two stair gates up the other day?
Oh, right. Okay. So
Wi-Fi I have access to went for a walk with the boy.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you go for the walk. The stair gates will be up.
Hang on. So
she didn't believe me.
But the thing about the stair gates, are they pressure fixings? Right, okay.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I'm just saying it's just 3M tape and a bit of 3M tape and some screwing in it.
No 3M tape.
How do you... Hang on. So you got the little...
I'm taking measurements.
The little
circles. That's what I'm doing to start with.
What do you do the... You know the little circles? The little... What would you call them? The screws. Like, so you unscrew the screws to make it fit the aperture.
Well, there's extensions involved as well.
Right,
so you have to measure for the extensions because you put extension on each side if you need to.
But is there not some 3M tape involved in the pads that you use to protect your paintwork?
No, you don't need to because they're kind of like a soft plastic.
Right. Are you sure you don't have them? Are you sure you're not supposed to put them up? Because all I'm hearing now is that you've done it wrong.
I'm not sure, no.
Check the bag, see if there's any
stickers.
No,
it's honestly fine.
All right.
The way you go about it is you measure... And if you need to put an extension... So the confusing thing happens when, for example, as was the case in my house, you've got quite a thick skirting board.
Yeah, so you have little extenders extenders on the top and not on the bottom. Yeah,
exactly.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so and then you screw them, and the more you screw, obviously, the more pressure.
Mm.
You have to get to a certain pressure or they're not safe.
I'm quite interested. I've seen stair gates before where you click them in. The screws are clickable, aren't they? They sort of go click, 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 click. So you know you're... sort of getting it tighter and tighter each time.
Could I interest you in purchasing a couple of Scandinavian branded ones that are about £100 more than
the
others?
More expensive, because they look nice.
That's what I did. It's a very good piece of kit, actually.
Mm.
It's a very good piece of kit. It's actually really good, because my son's on the move now, so he can now crawl around. Yeah. We've put the gates up in a certain way where he's only got access to a certain part of the house where it's safe and he can just crawl around. He loves it. And you haven't got to worry about it. It's peace of mind. It's I would recommend the stair gate. I would recommend it.
Are you a big fan of a little playpen? Little holding cell?
It's controversial, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah. I'm up for it, but I'm, other people in the family have said that they should. They don't think we should do it.
But it's just a nice place for them to relax.
For us to
think about what they've done.
I said to the people in my family, I'll put him in there at 8 a.m. and then we're going to 8 p.m.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can I also add another complication into the Stairgate saga, into the story,
right,
that I forgot to mention? So our house, look, so you come in, you're straight up the stairs,
yeah,
and you're on the first floor. To get to the garden, you go straight down the back stairs. So we're basically...
Not Stairgates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So ordinarily, you'd put a Stairgate on the front stairs and a Stairgate on the back stairs.
Mm.
The kids not spending any time downstairs anyway, so you only need to keep them upstairs.
Right.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Can't put them on the back stair because the cats can't get through the gaps. And they can't jump over because the stairs is immediately there, it's too much of a drop.
Down, right, yeah.
So I've had to put it in a different part of the house.
Right.
So there's a lot of problem solving involved.
Can you just put the stairgate on the child so it can't get upstairs?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's too wide for the stairs to get up.
I'd like to put him in like a big zorb.
Yeah, so that he's never going to hurt himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if he goes down the stairs, it's fine.
It's absolutely fine. Yeah. Yeah. But that was kind of my form of yours, going down the stairs in a sleeping bag on your bum.
Sleep, really?
Yeah, do you know what you should do with that?
Like Kevin McAllister, sled?
You sit in a sleeping bag and you just sort of slide down the hall of the stairs and it really hurts your bum. You go,
yeah, not when you were one, though.
Nah. Well, I mean, I did fracture my skull and break my collarbone in two separate falling down the stairs events when I was about that age, so...
You fractured your skull?
Not good parents, Stewie and Christine Allison.
You fractured your skull?
Fractured my skull on one event and then fell down the stairs again. I mean, God knows what sort
do you
of
remember
services
it?
Are doing. I don't remember anything these days. It's probably related.
No, were you too young to remember it?
I think I was too young to remember.
But they just told you that?
Broke my collarbone. I can still feel it now. It's a bit wonky. And fractured my skull. Two different events.
I wouldn't be telling my son that unless I absolutely had to.
Yeah, good point, actually. Do you reckon they sort of feel like they have to just in case?
It's a problem of our parents' generation. They're always oversharing, aren't they?
And that has been the Luke and Pete Show on Monday, 29th of April.
Pete's birthday Eve.
I'm going to be...
50's a big one, isn't it?
50 is the big one. I certainly feel it these days. How am I going to spend my 43rd year?
44th year.
That's big. I think 43, you can still sort of get away with kind of, you feel like it's the start of the 40s still. But 44th year starts to sound a bit muggy, doesn't it?
Me and all the Luke and Pete Show community are fingers crossed for you. When you come downstairs in the morning tomorrow, you get yourself a donut boy.
Yes!
See you later, guys.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.